Feeling the presence of the United States military here just gave me a sense that things were going to be okay.
Big ships dock for big jobs. It's Thursday, April 2nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook and Instagram on VOA Asia. Also ahead, the U.S. Peace Corps is called home. Education is tough in Pakistan. U.S. homes deal with teaching. Most students around the world find themselves forced out of school. And baseball goes online for fans in South Korea. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The U.S. military hospital ship Comfort has arrived in New York to help free up hospital beds in a city desperately needing help to fight the coronavirus outbreak. The massive ship is just one of many military assets deployed to help the national response to the virus. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb has the latest.
The USNS Comfort is now treating patients in New York, and Comfort is exactly what that hospital ship is bringing New Yorkers.
Feeling the presence of the United States military here just gave me a sense that things were going to be okay. It's such a moving sight. The ship is so impressive. It just looming there in our harbor, you know, was like a beacon of hope.
The ship isn't the only military asset treating New York patients this week. The Army Corps of Engineers helped turn the massive Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan into a temporary hospital for nearly 3,000 patients.
The nice thing about convention centers, you might not know this, every 10 feet there's a great big steel door on the floor. You open it up, and in there is all the electrical, there's cold water, there's hot water, and there's a place for sewage. So you can actually do things like sinks right in the middle of a convention center to be able to make that happen.
The Comfort and the Javits Center are for non-coronavirus patients to make room for contagious COVID patients in local hospitals. But the general says the Army Corps of Engineers is building three other temporary hospitals in New York that will have the self-contained spaces needed to care for coronavirus patients. In all, his team is looking into 114 facilities across the country for temporary hospital sites, including the massive McCormick Place Convention Center in Chicago. They've even found a way to make that space usable for treating COVID-infected patients.
We're bringing the pressure down in the entire convention center. It's going to be lower pressure. Keeps all the containment in.
On the West Coast, the Mercy Hospital ship continues to take in Los Angeles patients. And the National Guard has deployed thousands across the country to help deliver testing kits and administer the tests. But the military isn't immune to the virus. Hundreds of service members have tested positive, too, including more than 100 on board the USS Theodore Roosevelt aircraft carrier. Carla Babb, VOA News, Washington.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Vietnam latest to lockdown while U.S. braces for huge death toll. China not tracking recovered coronavirus patients who test positive again. U.S. military furloughs thousands of South Korean workers. Taiwan still calls COVID-19 Chinese virus, but Trump doesn't. In South Korea, baseball's a hit with sports-starved online fans. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you make a visit to Facebook at VOA Asia. Also check out our Instagram account and the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. The U.S. Peace Corps' unprecedented response to the coronavirus pandemic, evacuating all 7,300 volunteers who were working in 61 countries, has left many of them uncertain about their own future. VOA's Brian Patton spoke to some recently recalled volunteers who generally say they support the agency's decision to evacuate them due to health and safety concerns, but are upset they had to cut short their 2-year commitment to live and work in developing nations.
Alicia Moreno was a Peace Corps volunteer in East Timor, working with a community development group before being ordered to evacuate to the capital, Dili, on March 15th due to the coronavirus threat.
Everyone was just like, wait, what? Like, we assumed that we were going to the capital to try and be all together so that we weren't burdens on our community. And then they're just like, okay, we're sending you on the next plane.
The Peace Corps terminated the service of all its volunteers, including Danielle Collier, who was working only 3 months as an education volunteer in North Macedonia. Evacuated back to her family's home in Utah, Collier plans to reapply as soon as the agency resumes operations.
I don't feel like my work there is done, and I just feel like after this craziness, the relationships have only become stronger, even from afar.
Many volunteers like Ashley Resurrection, who served as a teacher in Thailand, worry that Peace Corps may not recover from this worldwide shutdown.
We are, you know, representatives of the United States, and we are making all these communities and relationships with other countries. And now that we've completely cut that off, I don't know how we can recover from that, or if we will.
But the Peace Corps insists it will resume operations once the pandemic ends. While U.S. foreign aid opponents have tried to cut the humanitarian agency's budget in the past, the Peace Corps continues to maintain strong bipartisan support in Congress. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
Australian authorities are telling foreign cruise ships floating off the East Coast to immediately sail home rather than risk flooding hospitals with coronavirus patients. But the operator of the most well-known vessel, the Ruby Princess, says the government in Canberra needs to adopt a new humanitarian approach and let the company repatriate its foreign crew. There have been 4,763 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Australia. 20 people have died. We hear more from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
There are 9 cruise ships either docked in the state of New South Wales or waiting off the coast. On board are thousands of international crew members from dozens of countries. Australia is refusing to let them disembark because of fears they could worsen its COVID-19 crisis. New South Wales Police Commissioner Mick Fuller says the vessels must return to their home ports.
You know, they don't pay Australian taxes. They're not considered in terms of someone who we want to bring back on shore to risk the people of New South Wales and also potentially put our health system under enormous pressure by bringing these people back in.
A tenth of Australia's coronavirus cases have come from a single cruise liner, the Bermuda-flagged Ruby Princess. Infected passengers were allowed to disembark in Sydney just over a week ago without proper checks. It's the biggest source of the COVID-19 infection in Australia. The Ruby Princess's owner says it's not safe for it to sail away from Australia while there are crew members who are ill. On board are 1,100 people from more than 50 countries. 6 people have been allowed off the cruise ships for treatment in Australian hospitals. Some have tested positive for COVID-19. 2 pregnant women have also been allowed to disembark. Any vessel that remains in Australian waters without permission can now be subject to heavy fines or even jail terms. Officials have said they will continue to allow the ships access to fuel and food. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, China says it has more than 1,300 asymptomatic coronavirus cases, the first time it has released such data following public concern over people who have tested positive but are showing no symptoms. Stay up to date with VOA and VOA 60. You're listening to VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. Millions of children in Pakistan are deprived of getting an education due to family financial reasons. Some are even forced into child labor to earn enough to feed their families. While the government does provide public schools, non-government organizations like Dosti are also providing similar services. VOA's Nazir ul Islam has more in this report from Peshawar, Pakistan, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
12-year-old Aisha Entia sells flowers on Peshawar's busy streets to make ends meet for her family.
6, 7, 7,
but she recently became a student at Dosti, a free school for children like her. Aisha aspires to be a teacher.
I want to become a teacher in future so that I educate other children. My mother begs along the roadside and I don't like it. I will continue to work and study.
According to UNICEF, close to 23 million Pakistani children aged 5 to 16 years old do not go to school. Dosti, which means friendship, is an organization that is currently providing free education to about 500 street children in 7 different schools here. Samir Rahman is working as a coordinator at Dosti. He says the purpose of its institution is to raise awareness among the poor.
Many children in Pakistan are out of school. Our goal is to reach those children who can't manage to go to school for whatever reason. We have started an easy, cheap way to reach students.
Dosti is attracting students of all ages. Afghan refugee Bashir Khan has been living in Pakistan for years and works in the garment industry. He says getting an education is helping him with his work.
I sell clothes. The benefit of this education is now I'm able to write the names of customers on my phone. Education is helping me a lot.
We have learned ABC. I can now write my name. I have learned 1, 2, 3. We have books and we write on a daily basis.
With millions of children still to serve, Dosti and parents hope that children of all economic backgrounds can have an equal chance at education. For Nazarul Islam in Peshawar, Pakistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
With schools closed during the coronavirus pandemic, parents around the world are now trying to figure out the new normal of having to homeschool their children and work at the same time. VOA's Elizabeth Lee tells us about the challenges and how parents are playing multiple roles and trying to make it work.
When the pandemic first closed schools, students rejoiced. Priti Nathan's 2 daughters, who are 6 and 11 years old, were also excited.
I think initially it was a lot of fun because we got to pretend like this was just a 2-day, you know, interesting new thing to do.
But as the days dragged on,
Then it started getting old. We don't really know when this is going to end. So I think that's what makes it a little challenging right now.
While working from home, she also tries to keep her children learning.
For the little one, the 6-year-old, it's a combination of, what the school wants and what mom and dad want. And there's a lot of bribing that happens in between. It's hard, I think, to juggle all these different hats that you have to wear when you're at home with them all the time.
There has been pretty intense, continuous anxiety. And even in times of calm, it's kind of there floating under the surface.
Robin Leffert, a pediatric nurse, has an 8-year-old daughter. Getting into a routine in this new pandemic normal has not been easy.
Now that we are homeschooling, I am working until I leave for work, and then I go to work. And then I come home and then we start all over again. So there isn't really any time off at all or any downtime. We are still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to come up with a schedule. I feel like every time we try to come up with one, it just doesn't work and we don't know how to make it work. So my daughter's teacher has started doing a Zoom morning check-in with any kids who can participate. So there's been a fair amount of just kind of free time for her to hang out with the chickens in the backyard and watch the construction going on next door and read her books and hang out.
Then there are the never-ending emails from school.
Every time I would look at my inbox, there would be 10 new messages from the teacher, from the principal, from the school district, from other parents at the school. I shut off. Was just too much.
In the midst of all the stress,
I am very aware now of the things that I am grateful for. And I am grateful that I have a job that is perhaps more secure now than it ever was before. I'm also grateful that my child seems to be pretty resilient so far.
I think having that extra family time, just cherish that, you know. as a family. We're having all of our meals together as a family. There's a lot of bonding going on there.
Many parents are trying to focus on the positives and not to overstress about schoolwork, something often easier said than done. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, traffic flow eases in Vietnam's capital city, Hanoi, as the government enforces social isolation measures in order to curb the spread of coronavirus. You'll find this story and many more on VOA 60 and follow us on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, schools and daycare centers in countries throughout the world are closed because of the novel coronavirus. UNESCO says the closing impacts more than 87% of the world's student population. Even young children know there's a virus going around, but what do you tell them? VOA's Carol Pearson has more.
The number of children whose schools are closed because of COVID-19 is soaring, according to UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Children are staying home, many on lockdown with their families, and they often see and hear the same information about the coronavirus that their parents do. Dr. Kate Eshelman, a psychologist at Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital, says it's important for parents to listen to their child's concerns.
It's always important to start with the kids and find out where they're at. Ask them what they've heard, what they know, and what they think and feel about these things. It's always important to tell the truth in a developmentally appropriate way. And we want to provide the kids with reassurance.
Robert Franks is a child psychologist and president of Judge Baker Children's Center in Boston. He agrees with Eshelman.
You're not going to talk to a five-year-old the same way you would talk to a teenager. But I think it's also really important that they understand how serious this is. And it's also
Franks was part of an expert panel on Newswise, a source for journalists. Franks says it's important for parents and caretakers to remember that children take their cues from adults.
They pick up on our anxiety. They pick up on our fear. If we're watching the news 24/7 in our house, they're going to see it too, and they're going to see the way we react to it. As well as, you know, take our cues from us in terms of how seriously we're taking social distancing.
Eshelman says it's okay for children to sometimes watch the news with adults.
But if you're going to do that, do it together so that you can ask questions and address any concerns.
Eshelman says if children ask you questions and you don't know the answer, it's all right to say so. She says you can explain that this is a new situation and that none of us have been in it before. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
Now on VOA Asia, the Chinese electric car company NIO has one of the fastest electric sports cars in the world. They were also one of the first mass-produced vehicles to have artificial intelligence in every car. Deanna Mitchell reports.
China's cities are infamous for their polluted skies, but one company is trying to change that.
One smart electric and autonomous vehicle at a time. It's called Weilai, which means blue sky coming. Outside of China, the company is known as NIO. NIO CEO has been called the Elon Musk of China. And in fact, his vehicles offer the same level of autonomous driving as Tesla. But unlike Tesla, NIO created the first mass-produced vehicle with a personal AI in every car, called Nomi. The North American headquarters and global software development center for NIO is in the heart of Silicon Valley.
Simply opening the door, Nomi greets you, turns to you and greets you. I believe having an AI personality inside the car actually dramatically heightens the connection, the emotional bond between the user and the device.
It knows exactly your seating position, your temperature control, so that you prefer, and also radio stations.
Nomi just reminded the driver to hold on to the steering wheel.
Nomi can be used to alert customer service when issues arise. One user in China said he even received a condolence gift after Nomi notified NIO customer service of the death of his cat. NIO says this owner had opted in to the kind of communication Nomi relayed to the company.
Traditionally with auto manufacturers, they will wine and dine you until the sale of the car, and then that's when the relationship ends. For us, it really kind of begins at the sale of the car, even before then.
It is possible to silence Nomi. But as cars become smarter, AI assistants are poised to become regular passengers. For VOA News, this is Dina Mitchell, San Jose, California.
The coronavirus pandemic has shut down virtually all professional sports, leaving a major hole in the lives of fans around the world. One big exception is baseball in South Korea. Some Korean teams have been broadcasting practice games on YouTube. The games are attracting a big audience and bringing a bit of optimism amid the pandemic. VOA's Bill Gallo has more from Busan, South Korea.
Spring baseball. Any other time, it wouldn't be unusual. But right now, this game is anything but typical.
Well, it might be weird, but it's literally true. Behind me is one of the only professional sporting games going on in the entire world. If you look closely, there are no fans here. This is what baseball looks like in Korea during a coronavirus pandemic.
The Lotte Giants are playing in front of 27,000 empty seats due to social distancing guidelines. Instead, the team is broadcasting the games on YouTube, where they've been a big hit. About 10 times as many fans have been watching compared to the Giants' average regular season games last year.
And people want sports right now. People are thirsty for, especially baseball fans, they really want baseball right now. I like to think that we're just helping them out and we're just giving them a bit of a fix.
Baseball already incorporates social distancing to an extent. Most fielders stand a dozen meters or more from each other, and there is no sustained physical contact. Most players also wear masks, and for now, the team is only playing against itself.
Washing my hands as often as I can and wearing my mask and just staying clean. Like, that's the most important thing for me right now.
South Korea is one of the few countries where professional sports could happen at all. The country saw an explosion of coronavirus cases, but was able to quickly put out the biggest fires. Now there are flashes of normalcy, previews of what a post-coronavirus world looks like.
I think it desperately needs baseball. We need some distraction and something spring-like.
Springtime baseball, a reminder that happier days could soon be around the corner. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Busan, South Korea.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can find our program at the voanews.com website. We're glad you were able to join us today, and we thank you. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.